Hey guys, welcome to another quick podcast. This is a series of podcasts I'm running for intermediates, and today's episode is on day game trip lessons. So we're going to be looking at some mindsets, traps to avoid, and some technical points about going on trips, and some little extra things to keep you to think about before you go on your trip. This is a continuation of last week's podcast on how to plan your first day game trip. Some very quick upsells before we begin. You can find all the info on my books, my Patreon and coaching on my website, thomascrownpeaway.com. My books include my first year of day game memoir, my texting guide, intermediate textbook, and a book of all my best blog posts. There's the information on my Patreon, where you can find infields, analysis, exclusive Q&As, other content, and we're working on texting analysis and date calibration analysis right now. You'll also find information on coaching from me, that's either by call or infield. That's all on thomascrownpeaway.com. You can also follow me on X at Crown Day Game, and if you think that you have a topic or a question that would be good for these series of podcasts, then send me a DM on X or send me a message using my website. Okay, let's get stuck into this. Lessons for day game trips. To begin with, we're going to talk about mindsets and traps. And the first mindset you want to have going into your trips is just keep going. So you might know about this concept called Chekhov's gun in storytelling, which is that if you introduce a gun in the first act of your play or whatever it is, then it has to go off by the third act of the play. And when you're on a trip, Chekhov's gun in this case is to get laid. So when you go on these trips, the truth is that I've been on trips for a long time. I always got laid on the trips I went on until the first one when I didn't. And there is this enormous sense of incompleteness if you don't reach that goal. And so it means that you have to really watch out for weasels. One of them, the very first trip I took, as I was saying in the previous podcast, I went to Prague, and once I'd done about 60 sets as part of the number farm, I started to go do tourism. And you might think, oh, that's okay, that's fine. But honestly, you really have to admit to yourself, I am here to get laid. You have to save those touristic things, you know, relaxing, not doing very much, until after you've got laid. Because on your way back, you need to know that you did everything you could to get that lay. So the first thing I want to tell everyone is just keep on going. So, you know, if you're on a 10-day trip and you're 8 days in and nothing's happened, well, go out there and do 20 sets today. Go out there and stay out there, trying to get a same-day lay at night. And what I can tell you is that if you haven't gone on a trip before, the day after you get that lay on the first trip, on the first time you get laid on a trip ever, it's like you wake up and it's all this pressure is lifted. You know, there are birds singing in the sky, the sun's come out, it's beautiful. It's a really amazing experience. But there's so much pressure on trips to get laid because of that Chekhov's gun effect. So that's the first thing, is tell yourself, just keep going, keep approaching, and you need to tell yourself, I'm here to get laid. The second one, it's related, but it's that don't rest on your laurels. So what you might do is, like, you do a day, you've already done 10 approaches or 15 approaches, you've got a few numbers and they're responding, and you think, do you know what, I can rest on my laurels here, you know, I can put my feet up, just have dinner and then go back to my apartment. And the truth is, like, no, like I was saying in the previous point, you have to just tell yourself, I'm here to get laid. You have to do everything you can to reach that notch. Of course, if you already have the notch, then you can take your foot off the pedal, do whatever you like. But I really want to make it really clear and let you know that you will go home feeling really unsettled if you don't get that lay. And so don't rest on your laurels. And so by that, you know, I'm going to talk about a sort of normal schedule you might follow on a trip, but it's things like after your dinner, if you're fishing with your mates, you know, don't just sit there and think, it's okay, I'll let her go by. Actually do the sets, keep on going. You never know which approach is going to turn into the lay. So it could be that you wake up one morning, you're a little bit earlier, you go walks and have a coffee, and you see a girl walking along, just throw it out there, just flip the stone, see what's going on. Or you might be walking home at the end of the night, you've had dinner and drinks with your friends, and you see a girl and you think, it's kind of late, I don't want to do it. But just flip the stone, see what happens. So don't rest on your laurels, keep on going. The third one, again, it's related. These all kind of come as a bit of a package, but it's take your opportunities. And so when it comes to, say, eye dates, same day lays, after 7 p.m., once the sort of evening rush hour has died down, if you get a good set, go for the eye date. See what happens. You can always take her for a quick coffee or a drink if she wants to come for a drink, and flip the stone in terms of seeing how up for sleeping with you that night she is. And then you can always just meet up with your friends again 45 minutes later if it's not going to go anywhere. But take your opportunities. Another thing is that as you're walking around, know that little flicks of girls' eyes mean way more than you might think. So again, go and investigate. If you're walking along and a girl flicks her eyes towards you, think to yourself, huh, that might be an IY. Especially in, I found this in Warsaw, which was that I think girls have been approached a lot because there's a really big day game scene there right now. And so they don't tend to give you big IYs where it's quite a strong come on. Instead, they'll give you those little subconscious flicks where they might not actually know that they're doing them. I've had lots of dates before where I've sort of talked a bit about how we met each other on the date. I was talking about how we met, and I say to her, oh yeah, I noticed you flicked your eyes at me, I thought you were looking at me. And she's like, oh, I had no idea I did that. And of course, maybe we don't know if she's telling the truth or not, but this is me just saying little flicks of her eyes mean more than you think, and you can take that as an IOI. But this mindset is you've got to take your opportunities. Again, don't be going back home on the plane thinking I could have done more. Okay, next mindset or next sort of trap is, the mindset is that you should be ruthless in organizing your dates. And the trap is falling into one of kind of politeness. So don't be afraid to move a date to another day or to an earlier time to make room for a more interested one. Like you might have a date, let's say you're going to go on a Thursday and stay there for 10 days. You might have a date set for like the Monday evening, and you meet a girl on the Sunday, and she's just more on than the one you currently have set up for the Monday. So don't be afraid to move that one on the Monday earlier on in the evening, and then put the one who's more up for it later in the evening. We're going to get onto sort of date timings in a second. The last mindset you want to have is, or you need to have, is that you are going to need to filter. So here's the sort of harsh truth that everyone has to accept, which is that unless you live in these places, then you're either going to be looking for girls who are transient, those who have alternative mindsets, or just need to be in a case of very good luck. So, you know, for example, a girl who is looking for a rebound, or she's just decided, okay, I want to sleep with a random guy, which girls do sometimes. Something I say to students is like, it's almost like girls have sex cards, which they can play throughout their life. And so maybe they have 7 cards and they think, well, one went to my high school boyfriend, one went to my university boyfriend, and then I can spend like maybe 2 of them on random sex, and then the other 2 have to be saved for potential boyfriends who would become husbands and to start a family with. But you never know. Like I've had a lay in Serbia with a local, and she said, yeah, I decided I was going to sleep with a foreigner. You know, so you kind of have to just get very lucky with that. Now, of course, look, if you provide a very big looks advantage, then you can get those sort of entrenched K-select girls as well. But the thing I want to stress is that for guys who are, say, going out to Eastern Europe from London, you're going to be surprised by the strength of some of the girls' convictions in terms of their K-selection. Of course, R and K is a spectrum, but these girls, they know themselves, and they might enjoy going on a date, maybe even kissing you. But they know they're not going to sleep with you because they know the emotional ramifications for themselves of sleeping with a guy, and also how they were brought up not to go for casual sex. And you don't happen to be catching them at that very lucky moment. So something to look out for. But the overall point of that mindset was that you just have to filter. So have that in your mind. I'm going to go out there, do sets, but I am looking to try and unearth one of these girls who is either transient in and of herself. Again, that depends on the cities you're in. For example, in Prague or in Riga, you get a very lovely old town with tourists. You're not going to get so many transient people in, say, Warsaw, but because of the population in Warsaw, you're more likely to come across that girl with a more atomized sort of alternative mindset who would be willing to go for something one-off. Okay, so those are the mindsets and the traps that I have written down. Next up are technical points. So you would have heard about number farming. That's when you go on a trip and you try to get a lot of numbers within your first however many days. So just as an example, let's say you're going on a 10-day trip. What I would recommend is going on a Thursday, staying 10 days to Sunday. So on the Thursday and Friday, you do something like 15 sets a day. Saturday and Sunday, I find my energy ebbs down But also, say in Eastern Europe, again, I made this disclaimer in the last podcast, I'm talking about going to Eastern Europe. You might be going to different cities where things are different. But there, the weekends aren't as good as the weekdays. Obviously, there's lots of families and groups out, but that's kind of the same everywhere. But a lot of girls in these countries go back to their parents' houses for the weekends. Or else there's no office workers walking around. There's no students walking around because there's no need for them to be in class. So 15 sets each day on the first 2 days, the Thursday, Friday. Then something like 5 to 10 on the Saturday and Sunday. And then maybe on the Saturday night, you might be looking for more eye dates and same day lays. And then on the Monday and Tuesday, you know, you get a bit of a second wind. Try to do something like an average of 10 to 15 sets on each day. So over the course of those 2 days, something like a minimum of 20 sets, but hopefully somewhere closer to 30. And doing that will give you somewhere between, let me just add this up, 60 and 80 sets. I hope my maths was correct there. And I think, well, for me, 60 to 80 sets should be enough to get a lay. Maybe you'll need to do a bit more. Maybe you should up these numbers depending on your long-term average. But that's quite a lot of sets to get dates going and things working. Now, how to structure your day. Normally what I would do is leave my apartment around 11 a.m, get a takeaway coffee, and then approach until lunch. So these approaches, not so much about getting the lay, they're more like warming you up for the rest of the day. And don't be ashamed or afraid in these early approaches just to throw out some beginner level warm-ups. Like I was saying earlier, you got to take your opportunities, and sometimes you just have to flip the stone. Just go over open, or go over your open, give a hit and run compliment, and if she reacts really well, stay in there. The main thing is just putting yourself out there and seeing what you can generate. So let's say you go from 11 till, say, 1 or 2, then have lunch with your friends, then take an hour's break back at yours. Again, this is why it's important to have a nice comfortable Airbnb or place to stay. And after that, you're going to hit the evening rush, which is about 4 to 7pm. Then have dinner, and then afterwards, fish. So you can see it's a bit of a, it's like having a job for the first 6 days. Of course, if you get a lay early on, you know, no need to follow this structure. If I got a lay early on, I'd just come out with my wings to be friendly and like push them into sets and egg them on, because it's always better if you're all sitting on a lay, because then you can all relax and it's all a lot more fun. But yeah, for the first, say, 6 days on trips, it's probably going to be quite militaristic. You know, it's going to be like, okay, got to get out there, do the approaches, get everything done. Next thing is to do a texting. I normally send my feelers about an hour after closing the girl. And what I'll do as well is I'll start with a sentence. So I don't say, nice to meet you earlier. Oh, you're always so friendly to people, whatever. I don't send that kind of stuff. I might just say, let's say she's going off to study. I might say, pleasure meeting you today, Anna. I hope I inspired you to study extra hard, with a wink or a tongue sticking out emoji, and let her come back. So I send those about an hour after. Like I was saying earlier, it's because I'm trying to filter. So I'm trying to get things moving quickly and set a pace so that things can happen quickly. Another thing is, don't be afraid to send date requests for that evening. So what I'll do is I won't do any dates. I wouldn't recommend you do any dates on the first 2 days, on the Thursday, Friday, taking my earlier example. But then after that, set up dates willy-nilly. So you're probably going to, what I recommend is doing 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. dates. So what you could do is, once you take a number on, if you take a number on the Thursday or Friday, start setting up dates, try to start on the Saturday. If you take a number on the Saturday, you know, it kind of depends when you take the number, because if you take it at midday, you could ping her, you could be pinging for a few hours, and then you could date request for either that evening or the next evening. Or else, if you took a number, say, on the Saturday, then as long as she's responding on the Sunday, set up a date request for that night. And don't be afraid about having to filter a bit harder, because you really can't be, if you say to her, like, oh, if you meet her on Saturday and say, oh, what's better for you, Tuesday and Thursday? If she then goes for Thursday, you've only got like 2 or 3 days left. You've got to make things happen really soon and as soon as you can. So let her know you want to take her out by just saying, oh, let's meet for a drink, say this evening or tomorrow evening. And then she will come back to you with her next availability. So the point is, you're trying to meet her as soon as you can. Going on to the timings of the dates, we had 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Now, normally the date plan I'd recommend is, if it's a 6 p.m. one, you're probably not going to sleep with her because it's kind of early evening, late afternoon. So have a drink, go go for a walk. And if you think that there's an opportunity to kiss her, go for it, but don't push it. Really, what you're trying to do is just get that first date out the way so that you can meet her maybe a couple of days later for a later evening date where sex is more possible. Other than that, you have your 8 p.m. regular dates, you know, go for your usual schedule, like two drinks over one or two venues, go for the kiss, bounce back if you think so, if it's appropriate. I recommend that for those later evening dates, you don't need to push things if you're meeting her within this first, say, 6 days. You know, if you meet her, especially if you meet her within the first, say, in those 6 days, try and gauge what she's doing for the rest of the week. Of course, if she's then not going to be available at all, you have to push things that evening. But as long as you go on a first date on by the, say, like the let's say if you go on that Thursday, if you go on that first date by the Monday or Tuesday and you kiss her, you've got lots of time to set up a second date to then get the notch. The next thing I recommend, I don't know if I said this already, is just not to set up dates within the first 2 days. So I don't like putting dates on the Thursday or the Friday, taking that example again, just because you want to be focused on approaching. And I've always had this thing where if I have a date in the evening, I can't really focus on the approaches during the day. So that's what I recommend there. Next one is go for eye dates after 7 p.m. I've fallen into this trap many times before where, and this is about the taking your opportunities, which is that I'll think, no, I'll stay out and keep on getting numbers. But once you get past that rush hour, there is like, it's thin on the ground in terms of the number of girls around. You're better off taking, if you think the eye date or the same delay is there, you're better off going for it. Even if you only go for a 30-minute coffee or a 45-minute drink, at least you know where you stand. And you can come back out and maybe look for another eye date. Now, the last thing as well, technical point, is what to say if she asks why you're there, if you live there, when you leave, etc. Now, I don't like to lie about, you know, I'd never say things like, oh, I live here now. But I will just say, oh, I'm sort of working from my laptop, I'm visiting some friends here. And I wanted to, and I mean, if I've never been to the city, I'll say I just wanted to check out the city. But I've been to the day game places now anyway, so I'll just say, oh, you know, I've been here a few times before, so it's just relaxing for me to be here. The thing is that if you straight up lie about living there, it will eventually come back to bite you, probably sooner rather than later, because one of two things will happen. The girl will think, well, there's no rush for us to meet. Then why can't we meet next week? He lives here after all. Of course, you don't live there and you won't be there after that week. Or else, you know, you're going to sleep with the girl and then you're going to have to tell her you don't live there and that's going to make you feel awful and you shouldn't do it, you know, because it's straight up dishonest. Instead, think about benefiting from the scarcity, because if you tell a girl, oh, you know, I'm here for another week, I'm here till Sunday, then she can say, you know, she at least has that scarcity in her mind. That could work in your favor. Going back to what I said earlier about the kind of girls you're trying to get on one of these short trips, you know, you're looking for a girl in those three categories of extreme luck, transience, or alternative mindset. And so the thing is, like, unless you really tell a girl you're living there, the entrenched K-Selex, it's not going to change their mind. They're still going to be a no anyway. So you might as well introduce a little bit extra scarcity with the three ones that you are your target market. Okay, some last things, extra stuff. Little things I've picked up from taking different trips. The first one is keep creature comforts such as vitamins and creatine. Like I always take those things with me. It just makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm sort of taking care of my health a bit better. The next one is go to the gym a couple of times when you're there. So if again you're taking that Thursday 10-day trip, then maybe on the Sunday and on the Wednesday. And one thing I find is I always like really feel that testosterone boost after the going to the gym. So it's good for your approaches as well, because it makes you feel more energetic and you're up for it. The next one is don't masturbate in the week running up to the trip. Try to keep yourself horny. And of course, don't masturbate on the trip itself. You know, you want to get into the streets and have that kind of hunger to approach and the desire to reach the goal. Next one is bounce back booze. So don't go overboard. You literally need like one tin of beer, one tin of some kind of like fruity cider, and maybe a cheap bottle of white wine, and that's enough. I mean, you could always get one of those like little individual bottles of white wine as well if you want to save money. You don't have to stock your fridge out with lots of drinks. And it's really annoying as well at the end of the trip if you have to like even though it's quite cheap in these places, it might be like £1 or 50p for the beer, the cider, and maybe a couple of quid for the wine. I just don't like leaving them behind. So, you know, you don't need that much. Probably one beer, one cider, and a cheap bottle of wine is enough. when you arrive next point, get a little bit of cash out. Try to find the ATM within the city that doesn't charge you to get money out. A couple of things that's because of a couple of reasons, and those are some bars just will only take cash. There's a lot of places in Eastern Europe that only take cash, and there might be some of the good little dive bars you want to take some dates to. The other thing is that it is good sometimes just, you know, reimbursing friends. You know, if you sit down and just have a drink or something cheap, rather than having to split the bill with card, because in a lot of places, again, in Eastern Europe, the waiters, waitresses are too lazy to split the bill between the two of you, or they'll come up with some reason why they can't split it between the two of you. So it's just useful to have. The last one is don't let your eating and your spending get out of control. Of course, now that's something for me because I don't want those things to get out of control. Some guys don't really care. They're on holiday or they don't care about the money. But the way I normally deal with this is that I usually fast in the morning. That's not something I do in London, but I do it while on trips. And I'll eat two meals a day. So I'll normally have one in and one out. So either lunch at home or dinner at home and the other one out at a restaurant. And, you know, you're doing a lot of walking and everything, so you're going to be burning a lot of extra calories. But that is one thing is, for me, is two big meals a day. Plus, I'm going to have, you know, if you're drinking, as we were in trips last year, like four or five beers a day, you know, you're going to be using up maybe 800 to 1200 calories a day just on alcohol. So it's good to not let your eating and your spending get out of control. It kind of comes back to the creature comforts, like the vitamins and the creatine. It's just your underlying feeling that everything is right and you're not letting everything run out of control. Okay, I hope you enjoyed that podcast.